Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day. The singing, oh my, has been amazing. Lifting up our voices, praising our risen Savior. Today, a day of resurrection, hope. I think about my wife oftentimes in the winter time, our backyard is barren. And we put a lot of work into making our backyard look pretty, but winter comes and everything dies. But this time of year, everything's coming to life. The flowers are beginning to bloom. We've got so many cannas, you can barely see the other plants in our yards because cannas kind of just go everywhere. But beautiful becomes like the Garden Eden. New life springs from what looks dead. Today is a day of celebration of the event that changed the world. I'm not sure we really consider what that day must have been like when Jesus burst forth from the tomb in victory, giving us all a chance, giving us all hope. This morning, we proclaim Jesus is the King. He is the King of all of us. And it's my prayer as we look at the resurrection this morning, we will be reminded not just of the victory and hope that was given to us on that day, but of what we are called to as we walk with Christ daily, facing the challenges of this life, in this fallen world. You realize we have been called to live as light bearers against the darkness that seems to consume and suck the life out of this world. We hear the news, we hear of all the different things going on, and it seems like darkness is all around. And I'm not sure why we live like that, why we live with that perspective. Because we have been given light and we are to be bearers of the light that Christ has given us. Imagine that light that burst forth and those guards that were around the tomb. Light so intense, so much glory that they felt like as dead men because of the power of the resurrection. You know, I thought, I'll tell some story, some joke or something to kind of break the ice. But you know what? When you're talking about the resurrection, there's so much power there that that stuff falls away in light of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything falls away in light of His glory. We have been given the victory through His resurrection. And you know what? It's time we start to live victoriously. Why do we live defeated? Have you ever read a book or watched a movie that started with the end of the story first, and then it kind of goes back in time? Have y'all seen movies like that where you see, you know, they show you, and then all of a sudden it's reeling back in time? You know, God was the first one to do that. Hollywood probably thought they were, but God was the first one to do that. Let's go to Genesis. The beginning of the first book in the scriptures, we're told of the power of the resurrection of Jesus. In Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity, hostility, between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head." He's speaking to Satan. "He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." You catch it? We're given the end of the story and what will happen. The prophecy of Jesus, our Messiah, in the line of Eve would be bitten by Satan, but the Messiah would crush his head. This is the end of the story. This is what happened on the day of resurrection. The cross was the bite, or so Satan thought he had defeated the Messiah, but it was the resurrection that crushed Satan's head and all his legions. Do you realize That because of that moment, that we don't have to fear Satan any longer? Do you realize that he has no power over us at all, except for the power we give him? It's when we submit to his will, when we listen to his lies, when we begin to believe the lies of this world, that we lose our way. In the power of the resurrection, we've been given abundant life, hope, salvation, and when all is said and done, eternal life. Why don't we live like resurrected people in this world? In the oldest recorded book in Scripture, we're again told of the victory of the resurrection. Hayden read it earlier, Job 19, 25 through 27. Now, if there's anyone who should have felt defeated, it should have been Job, right? Look at what he went through. Now, you may say, man, you should hear my story. And I have heard some stories of some of our members and the things they've been through, and it's been a lot like Job. But look at what Job says. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Is your heart yearning for that? Oh my, you know, when you're singing these songs, and man, I tear up. And I yearn for that freedom, to feel free like that. And God gives that to me if I'm just willing to take it. Job believed he would see God. Think about what he experienced, but yet he says these words in the midst of his angst and turmoil in his life. I'm not sure we fully grasp what happened for us in the resurrection of Jesus, but this Hebrew text gives that picture. I looked up some of those words and stuff when he talks about in my flesh. Job's fleshly body would be destroyed, but in his immortal body, he would see God. And my question this morning is, do we have that same confidence? Are you confident of that? We should. Why? Because those of us who have been baptized into Christ have experienced resurrection. Have you really pondered that? The day that I went into the water, I came out different. You know, as I looked back at that and as this kind of jumped out at me, I remembered the day that I was baptized and what transpired afterwards. It changed the course of my life forever. I was no longer this broken, idiotic person who was partying and doing, I was at University of Texas and was doing all the things that you shouldn't do because I thought that would bring happiness and that would bring joy. And none of it did. And it wasn't until I went into that water, when I fully committed my heart and my mind to Christ and I came up out of that water, that life changed. I was resurrected. We have all tasted of resurrection. We have tasted just a minute part of it. But there will be a time when we will see God in his full glory. Look at what Romans 6, 3 through 11 says. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Are you living it? Are you living new life? Not the old one, something that looks completely different. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. And we have that to look forward to. We are raised. We are taken from death to life when we are baptized into Christ. And when death seeks this flesh and takes it away, my spirit will live. I will not die. And neither will you. We will live in glory. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that Christ was raised from the dead. He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Do we live to God? On this Resurrection Sunday, do we remember and realize that he has called us to life? In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We have been raised from death to life. We are a new creation. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. I look around and I see all of your faces. The joy that we should experience each and every day. Happiness is fleeting. Joy remains. That joy should be expressed in every moment of life. So, with this in mind, I'd like to go to the account of Jesus' resurrection in Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed their faces down to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And I tell you this morning, remember his words. Remember what he said to you. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told the apostles. But they didn't believe the women. Sounds like men, right? Huh? They didn't believe the women. So, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. In this account of the resurrection, I believe that the angel asked a pivotal question for us today, one that I'd like for you to consider. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? If we have been raised with Christ through baptism, why do we look for life in things that lead to death? I want you to think about that. Why do we chase things that will ultimately kill us? Why do we look for a Savior in all the wrong places? Why do we do those things? That question just popped when I read it. Why do we look for the living among the dead? 1 John 2:15 through 17 says this: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of the Father, will of God, lives forever." Lives forever. So why do we seek the things of the world when we know it is Christ who gives the promise of abundant life in this world and eternal life that is to come? Where is our confidence in the promises he's made us? In Matthew 6:31 through 33, he says this: "So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first what? His kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, then we too will have the confidence that Job had when he said, after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes and not another. We will be able to confidently say, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know it. Because of him, we have eternal life. John said it best in 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And I know that all of us sitting here this morning believe that. And this is what he says. So that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know it? Or have you been looking for life in all the wrong places? Do you know that your Redeemer lives? Do you know you have eternal life? Are you confident in the power of the cross and Jesus' resurrection? Because bottom line is, if we don't have Christ, we don't have life. Maybe you've been looking for life in all the wrong places, like I said. There's a song, used to have a song, looking for love in all the wrong places. It's looking for life in all the wrong places. And I think sometimes that's what we do. We try to find enjoyment here. We try to find our purpose here. We try to find, and when it's amazing that in our resurrected state as Christians, we should be able to see, because we have the Holy Spirit that God has given us, that there is more to life than this place. Like Paul says in Colossians, we need to look to things above, not to things below. How often do we get focused here instead of here? Even looking parallel, oftentimes we walk around downcast because of junk that happens in life, but we have been given hope in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have been given victory through him. Do you realize how much you're loved? Do you realize in all of our uniqueness and the ways that we're created? I look around this room and there is, every one of us is completely unique, completely individual. God created you uniquely, and he created you for purpose. And that purpose is to glorify him in the way you live. Every one of you sitting in this room makes a difference in this world. And oftentimes I think we let Satan think life is in the things here instead of life in Christ. And we don't see how we should be seeing. We're not seeing through the lens of the gospel. We're not seeing through the lens of the resurrection. We're not seeing how much God can use us, because Satan has tricked us into thinking we don't have value and we don't have purpose and I don't make a difference. And look at me, look at the way I look. He tells us those lies over and over again. Are you listening to the lies? Are you listening to a Savior that says, I have come so that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly, that even in the midst of the brokenness and flawed world that we live in the fallenness of it, that you can live a victorious life You don't have to live that way. Follow me, and I will show you what life is. He gave us that opportunity to be baptized so that we could rise above, so that we could rise above this world. And he says, you're aliens and strangers here. You realize that? But that's okay. When you live that way, you really understand what life is about. His disciples did not get it for that first 3 years, but I guarantee you on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they knew. It's not about a Messiah that's going to take Jerusalem to the heights of glory. It's about a Savior who will take each individual person who believes in him to the heights of glory. That's what Jesus came to do, to give us life and give it to us fully. So if you've looked for life in all the wrong places, Jesus loves you. Maybe the world has wounded you and treated you with contempt. Jesus still loves you. Maybe you're weary, beaten down, felt like you've been burned by life. Jesus loves you. He ain't gonna stop. And he's already shown you how much he loves you because he said, I will remove your sin and iniquity as far as the east is from the west. I will remember your sin no more. I was going through some videos and I came across one, and I almost used it as my topic, but I wanted to share the sentiment of that video. He said that resurrection is the answer to all evil. I want you to think about that for a moment. Resurrection is the answer to all evil. When we are raised with Christ, even through baptism, Satan no longer has power. All evil can be stopped if we walk in the light. But I want you to think about on the day of our final resurrection, when we see God face to face, Satan will be no more. No temptation, no suffering, no pain. Perfection, perfect love, no evil. Resurrection is the answer. It's the solution to all evil. But if we don't have a relationship with Christ, we won't experience it. If we turn our back on Jesus, we will not experience that. I don't want to talk about what that experience will be. I want to talk about what God has in store for us. And that's victory and that's glory. Maybe you have been looking for life among the dead. Maybe it's time to turn that around because Jesus is always there with his arms open. I don't care what evil you think you've done, the cross and the resurrection defeated that evil a long time ago. And all he wants for you is to accept the love that he has for you. Accept the gift of the Spirit that he has for you. Maybe it's time to surrender to him and really find what life is about. Or maybe you've just been wrestling. You have been looking down instead of looking up. Maybe you just need some prayers from your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what this church is about. Church is about relationship. And whether you come forward or you go back and talk to one of the elders, we want to surround you because they're prayer warriors here. I have seen the power of prayer in this place. I have seen people literally, in some respects, raised from death to live life. Come from the most horrible of circumstances, no hope, and they find victory and find life in Christ. Maybe you've not been living the way God called you to be, and maybe you just need somebody to pray over you. This church will be glad to do that for you. Whatever your need is, there's one who can meet that need. And it's not always us, but it is always Jesus. Jesus can meet your every need. So if you have a need this morning, please come as we stand and sing.